I mean, this is no Lenny Pierce, but it'll work.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike Bo. Exactly. Allie Mack and Dylan here, of course, at 7:03. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Before we get back into this conversation that we've been having today about Michael Penix and his ranking in the NFC South, I thought for sure someone today was going to come in like a little bit hungover or exhausted, spending the weekend out at Echo Park Speedway for the Quaker State 400. But everyone looks ready to tackle the week. I'm proud of us.
Are we?
Exhausted. Look at me. Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's just.
The eyelids are starting to droop a little bit.
This is the magic of radio. This is one of those days where you're like, man, thank God I don't do TV. You know what I mean? Like, this would be so noticeable.
Yeah,
this is one of those days where I'm glad I got 3 hours. That's it. I'm feeling it a little bit. I had so much fun down there. Like, absolute blast. One of the better.
I agree. Man, just incredible weekend.
I'm trying to like think about February and how much fun we had then, and then this time, and like which one ranks higher. And I don't really know where to scale. I think we might have had more food this time.
Yeah, we definitely. The grill literally never cooled off.
Oh, really?
Not once in 3 days was that grill actually, you know, cool.
My buddy was like, "Hey, can I? You got propane?" And I was like, "Yeah, we gotta hook up." He's like, "I'm bringing my Blackstone top," and he put it on the table. And we woke up Saturday morning, was like, "I woke up second," and he was up. He was like, "I'm ready to cook." I was like, "All right." So Gardner just cooked eggs, bacon, sausage. Hash browns. It was like bringing Waffle House to you.
You know when you're watching the post show after a Braves game and you're looking at like Peter Moylan and people waving in the background. You're like, look at those goobers.
I know where we're going here.
We got some goobers right here.
Yes. Yes, I was a goober. I was a goober because we talked to Larry Mack on Friday. He's part of the TNT broadcast. This is the first time they've had NASCAR on TNT in a long time. They did their very first post race show. And it was Parker Kligerman, Jamie McMurray, and Shannon Spake. And I was just walking by, just happened to see the cameras come on, and nobody's around. And I was like, dude, I think I'm on TV.
Yeah.
So I just start waving my arms, holding a beer. I was like, yeah, just acting a fool. I was that guy. Yes, you're right. You're like, look at these. It always happens to me at the Hawks games in the background of, like, you know, the Trevor Scales, you know, or like Carl Dukes, like in the background, people just yelling, doing stupid stuff. That was definitely me. So, yeah, apologize if anybody had to see that. I was acting a fool.
I think it was funny because we got separated, because I actually ran into someone from the Falcons organization and training that he had been at Kozlowski's box, and so I ran into him and I started talking. And I turned around and my group was gone. Like, they just left me, Allie. Mm. They just walked away from me, and so I just said, "Well, I'm going back to the camper because they needed some of the stuff out of my camper and I locked it," and sure enough. I get back and I'm like the only one there, and I'm like, where the hell are those guys? And I turn around and see a couple of guys straggling in, and I didn't see Mike for like maybe an hour.
Yeah,
and sure, they had been over there. Then I start sending they sent the picture of our group chat, and I was like, these dumb dumbs. Like, could you fanboy out picture. More? Could you fanboy out more?
Well, if you guys had to rank this experience out at Echo Park Speedway, because we're going to talk about Nick Shook's ranking from NFL.com in a second. If you had to rank this experience versus other races, how was it?
It would be definitely higher than 30th, I can tell you that. And we'll get back into Michael. But no, this was they've got to keep this race on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. It just was a complete, and I hate using this term like Dylan does, it was a complete vibe. Like the whole thing, complete the fireworks, they had phones all light up at one point in the race, nice. And made it look really, really cool. It was a whole deal, man. Pre-race concert, all kinds of stuff that you can't really do on Sundays in June in the South.
Yeah,
and like daytime Saturday night was a thing. It was very, very, very high up on my list, if not number one.
To take it a step further, it would be safe to say that you, Bo, and the rest of your crew caught a vibe down at Echo Park Speedway.
Is that how you term that?
You caught a vibe, yeah. I caught a vibe.
I don't know.
I would have never been able to say that. Yes. Okay, we caught a vibe.
I don't think I caught one. I put one out.
But hey, there you go. You can catch a vibe. You can put a vibe out. There's multiple things you can do with vibes.
Right, that's a good time to move on.
All right.
Good job, Squid Billy. I like that.
Let's move on to Nick Shook's article over on NFL.com. He was ranking quarterbacks by division. For the NFC South, the average quarterback ranking was 20.25. Okay, so with the Falcons, Michael Penix Jr., he had him at number 30. But in our division, that made him last. Tyler Shuck was third place, Bryce Young second, and Baker Mayfield was in first place for our division.
It's just such a dumb metric. Like, that's the issue that I keep coming back to with it. It's just, he explains it well, honestly. He's like, anybody who hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL, I'm going to rank him 29th because that's my average ranking for a rookie quarterback going into the season. It's usually been 29th. He talked about it last year. Yeah, I rank Caleb Williams this and Bo Nix this. And like the average always comes out to 29, so I'm going to rank anybody who hasn't thrown a pass at 29. The problem is that all the other quarterbacks, he didn't rank starters. He ranked 1 through 59 for all the other quarterbacks because of the people who did throw passes the year before. So you've got, you got Tyler Shuck at 29 with a 29 ranking, and you've got like Joe Flacco at like 45. And it's like, okay, I get it. That's not great. Joe Flacco hasn't been elite, but he doesn't believe to be, you know, doesn't to be 16 spots lower than a guy who is a second round draft pick who's never thrown a ball. It's just like, it's just such a failed ranking and a flawed ranking. But, we can talk till we're blue in the face about where Michael Penix does match up. But the fact that you have Baker Mayfield at 6 and Bryce Young at 16, it's like, wow.
How is Bryce Young one spot behind CJ Stroud? Riddle me that.
I don't know.
Now, that's where I start to get issues. I don't
know. Ball knowers know.
I like Bryce Young. I've been a little bit of a Bryce Young defender in some ways. And he played very well last year from the last half of the season. But nothing has shown me in his 2 years that he deserves to only be one spot behind C.J. Stroud, a guy who's taken his team to the playoffs, a guy who's played phenomenal. Jordan Love is 10. He's got Lamar Jackson at number one, and Joe Burrow is 3, which I think Burrow played phenomenally good. Josh Allen too, but Tua is 18 behind Bryce Young.
Here's the big one. How about this one? Baker Mayfield at 6, Patrick Mahomes at 7.
That makes
sense. Patrick Mahomes at 7 behind Baker Mayfield.
Dude, that makes no sense. That makes
it's like, dude, what? What are we doing here?
Well,
Cousins at 25, to your point.
I mean,
that's why it's such a failed metric when you look at the way this guy tried to.
Do you think Sam Darnold? So you think Kyler Murray is 17 for real?
Well, and here's what I keep coming back to, and I'll ask both of y'all this: like, if I was redoing the actual, I'm not going to sit here and redo the quarterback rankings, but if you're redoing the actual division rankings, I don't know that I don't land in a similar spot, but you know, that's taking so many different things into account, and I just arrived there in a different way. You know, he's got obviously the AFC West being the number one ranked quarterback division with Mahomes, Geno Smith, Justin Herbert, and Bo Nix. I think all four of those guys extremely solid. But you know, it just interesting the way he kind of arrived at this decision.
Well, the NFC West is he's got the second best. I could make a strong. I think we could have a debate without some ball knowing dumbass thing that they've got done here, where you could say the NFC East is better than the NFC West quarterback-wise.
Yeah.
Because, all right, who's the – listen to the NFC East. Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, and Russell Wilson. Now the West, Kyler Murray, Stafford, Purdy, Darnold. Who are you taking? Because I'm taking the East.
Well, I think that I've been a Dak Prescott defender much in the way that you have been with Bryce Young. I've been more on the Dak Prescott bandwagon than a lot of people have. And I know he's had his ups and downs. We look at what he was able to do 2 years ago. Obviously, the injury we saw up close and personal last year here. But 2 years ago, what he was able to do at the beginning part of the season, I thought he was incredible.
I'm with you on Dak.
He's had ups and downs, dude. But he's been phenomenal for the most part of his career when you look at what he's been tasked with doing and leading the Dallas Cowboys. I think he's primed to have a pretty good season.
All right. I would take Stafford and Purdy over Russ. But I'm not. Am I taking Kyler Murray over Russell Wilson? I'm not. I mean, maybe. Yeah. Sam Darnold. I don't know. I think those are all comparable players. So, but I look at the top three between Dak, Jaden, and Jalen, and I think that that's better than the top three that the NFC West throws out.
I'll be curious to see, too, what Sam Darnold's future is in Seattle. Like, what will that look like? Because, obviously, we talked about him last year so many times as a guy who was going to break the bank in free agency. And then he had that 2-week stretch where it was awful. And then it's like, I don't know where he's going to go. And obviously he lands with the Seattle Seahawks and they feel good about having him. Geno Smith gets shipped to Las Vegas. They've done things differently. They fired Ryan Grubb, who was their offensive coordinator. He's now in Tuscaloosa, and I don't know what to think about Sam Darnold in the future. I feel like it was the offense that he was running in Minnesota, very, very, very quarterback-friendly to an extent, but he was doing good things most of the year. And now everything that was around him feels up in the air when you look at the Seattle Seahawks and what their future is. I don't know what to think about him.
I know. You want to say no, that you got to take what he did all year, but at the end of the day, the receiving core he had, and when teams started filling out a little bit of a formula of just put pressure, just come constant pressure and don't let up. We tried it and we just couldn't get home as much as needed. But when teams got home and he was pressed. He made a lot of mistakes.
It also blows my mind that we could look at the fifth-ranked AFC North and include Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, and now have Aaron Rodgers in that discussion, and then be the fifth-ranked division in the NFL.
Well,
just simply because Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco are able to rank so low, because, again, it's freaking ridiculous that you made a metric where you can rank 59 quarterbacks and nobody who's thrown a pass ranks 29 automatically. It's ridiculous.
Well, that actually brought the number up for the AFC North. The two rookies in Shador and
it would have, yeah.
And
it definitely
Randall.
Would have, yeah.
I mean, it
would have
brought it up. So I don't know. It doesn't, not a lot makes sense on how he did this. I understand we need content in June, and he's given us content.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that comes to me is the audacity to put, well, a true ball knower would know. And
come on,
that's
Bo.
Where you lose me.
Come on, man.
Well, a true ball knower wouldn't make up some ridiculous formula to justify elevating a player who's been okay, who's been bad more times than not in his first 2 years of NFL play. And guys that have never even touched the field.
Before we go to break, and this will be something we'll cover here coming up probably in an hour, would you have Caleb Williams ranked ahead of Michael Penix right now? Just straight up, head up.
Ooh. I mean, not really. Not what I saw. I didn't see a lot of good from Caleb Williams.
There's a lot of good,
year.
A lot of bad. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
especially when you take into account, just real quick, the weapons that Caleb Williams had last year. I mean, he's got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. I mean, he has some good weapons. Michael Penix obviously has good weapons too, but still.
Well, I never quite felt like Caleb Williams after a start the way I did Michael Penix after that start in Washington.
Caleb Williams and what I view him as last year makes me extremely happy that Michael Penix will have Kirk Cousins to watch tape with this year. That's all I'm going to say about that.
We can dissect this even more later in the show. We're also going to cover why Michael Penix was in Florida this weekend. Very cool moment. That's coming up at 7:40. And next, that must-win series between the Braves and Phillies didn't go our way. Another one-run loss yesterday. We're going to talk about it next with The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.